Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the epistle lesson appointed for this, the sixth Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from the eighth chapter of Romans, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, you reveal your word to us. As we open it, as we digest it, as we process it, dear God, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit, that we receive it also by faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. So goes the old Scottish nursery rhyme. But what might the destination of beggars be? If wishing could make things happen, then even the most destitute people would have everything they wanted. What would we wish for? Scripture tells us that our desires show us the truth of our hearts. If we desire great wealth, for instance, that's where our heart is. If our desires are filled with lust or greed or hatred or any other fleshy pursuit, our hearts will be there with those pursuits indeed. But there, Scripture warns, we should take heed. That horse which the flesh dreams of and longs for and even works feverishly towards acquiring is the horse which is hitched to a funeral coach. It's a black beast of great muscle that will carry us off to destruction. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here we see a far different horse, one that represents life. Those who long for this horse long for righteousness. But whose righteousness? If we omit the Spirit's involvement in this pursuit of righteousness, something which many a so-called Christian denomination has foolishly taught, and we try to put to death the deeds of our sinful flesh on our own accord, we long after a horse named pride. Like Babel, our accomplishments, if we could muster any up, would be piled up brick after brick to build a tower that, in our own minds, could reach up to the heavens. Look at what we can accomplish, we'd say. We'd call that out to our neighbors. Look at how far we've come. We'd boast before God. We'd be like the Pharisee in that parable that Jesus was talking about, who stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. Luke 18:11, the Apostle Paul had a far different take on this prideful horse that so many long for to keep me from exalting myself. He said in his second letter to the church in Corinth, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 9. Paul also said, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. That gift of faith involves the Holy Spirit, who simply cannot be removed from the equation of putting to death the deeds of the body, because his gift of faith points not to our own abilities to be sinless, but to Christ's ability to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Spirit's involvement is the horse of peace that we as beggars should be asking for. But can we, as beggars, be so bold as to ask? Beggars, after all, have no right to the riches from whom they beg, especially in this case. What we're asking here is that God give us his crown of righteousness. We're asking for royal assent. We're asking to be included in God's household as named co-heirs to his eternal kingdom. We're asking for Christ's substitutionary death, his life in exchange for ours, his righteousness in exchange for our sinfulness, a vast richness to which we have no hope of aspiring ever, but only can rely upon as a merciful gift. But this God grants willingly. God grants that we have the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, making us co-heirs of the kingdom of righteousness by his mercy. Gone then is the spirit of fear. Gone then is the spirit of slavery. It's replaced by the spirit of confidence and trust in a true relationship with Christ. It pleases God that we as beggars ask him for this most beautiful horse, so much so that he seeks us out and he tenderly invites us to do so with confidence and rejoicing and without fear. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. That's our key verse for this week, Psalm 65:5. As always, you'll find that printed on our interactive worship page that's tied to this week's sermon, and it's also printed in your worship folders. God responds to our petitions with mercy meted out upon the cross, giving us that great gift of redemption. For this, we're free to beg and should actually be reliant upon to our last day on this side of eternity. For it's God's great joy to give it. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, he said this. He said, "We are beggars. This is true." And those were his last words, spoken just before he was called into eternity. May we all trust in God's promises and live then as beggars before our Lord, trusting in God's gift of salvation, which sustains us in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, your loving call to us is to come to you begging. Begging for your mercy, begging for your grace, and begging for that crown of eternal life. And we praise your name that you've made that gift possible to us, that by our petition, you gladly answer our prayers. We ask, dear God, that you bless us now through this week, and especially in the months and years to come, that we always look with great joy and eagerness to being beggars in your kingdom. One day we know we'll receive that glorious gift of eternal life, that crown of eternal glory, and we will indeed be co-heirs to your kingdom. We'll wait in great eagerness and rejoice when we get there. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.